Howdy, folks. Welcome to Lords of Order, a DC's Dr. Fate fan podcast. I'm your host, Ed Moore. Episode 132 of the show coming at you. If you want to leave feedback, you can tweet me at Teal, T-E-A-L Productions. Teal Productions and Lords of Order have pages on Facebook both. The Dr. Fate fan podcast is the email address at gmail.com if you want to use that. BigTimeNoise.com/Dr. Fate is the website. JustAnotherFanboy.freeforums.net is the forums. You can leave comments there as well. World's Finest Comics, issue 208 from 1971, although this is the 1941 volume, the first volume of World's Finest. It's cover dated December 1971 with an on sale date of October 19th, 1971. Both of those dates are courtesy of Mike's Amazing World. Thank you, Mike's. Peril of the Planet Smashers is the title of the tale. Scripted for us by Len Wein, penciled by Dick Dillon, inked by Joe Giella, lettered by John Costanza, and covered by Neil Adams. Now, on the cover, we're told that World's Finest presents Superman, Dr. Fate, Peril of the Planet Smashers. And we see that Dr. Fate is kind of off to the side here a little bit, but there's this huge construct thing that's been attached to the Earth. And it, in turn, is attached to Superman, and he is coming towards us, akin to attempting to pull the entire planet, it kind of looks like. He's trying to move it somehow. And then here at the bottom, it says, plus two Golden Age thrillers, Robot Man and The Ghost Patrol. Both, I think, are reprints of Golden Age stories. So we open the book, and first off, we have a full-page ad for Electronics International 5-band portable radio. It says it plays on battery or current and contains 23 solid-state devices, AM, FM, police, aircraft, and shortwave. This is the 1972 model, and it's available for $29.95. You can listen to the whole world. Several features here in the illustration, and this all goes to the Electronics International Department RF of South DePlain Street, Chicago, Illinois. Now the story page. Here they are together again for the first time. Again in first in quotes. The mighty man of tomorrow, Superman, and the mystical master of magic, Dr. Fate. Are the powers of the past and the future strong enough to change the face of the Earth before it turns into a seething inferno? Will this world's finest team have enough time and power to stop the peril of the Planet Smashers? Dr. Fate is large, and he is saying, pull, Superman, pull! The future of the world rests upon your shoulders. And he has his hands on either side of the globe, that we can see the entire globe, with energy lightning bolts going from each of his fingertips towards the planet. Superman, with several chains attached to various points on the planet, and those chains thrown over his shoulder, also attempting what looks to be to pull the entire planet, much as Mr. Adams was trying to relay via the cover. Now, we start off at night on the outskirts of witch-famed Salem at a moment of confrontation. We have Dr. Fate here with several police officers confronting some ne'er-do-wells that are in an alley, and they have some kind of weapon. They're threatening to use the stolen thermal ray to wipe out half the city if we don't let them escape. Typical. I'll see what I can do, says Dr. Fate. So he goes over there, puts the whammy on the gun, and causes the trigger to disappear so that they can no longer fire the weapon. And then as he mystically cuffs the ne'er-do-wells, Dr. Fate says, the weapons of mere science are no match for eldritch forces, villain. Villain is kind of heavy-handed, but okay. Turning the blasted thing into handcuffs, the gun. So that's what he did. He turned the gun into handcuffs. After the police take control of the men, the thermal ray is restored completely. Dr. Fate hands it to an officer. You do well to take better care of it. In the beep, 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 an emergency call from the hospital, Fate thinks. Forgive me, officer, but duty calls, as he zooms off. And Dr. Kent Nelson must answer, he's thinking, as he zooms off. Next page, he shows up at the Weatherby Free Clinic. Changes and runs in. You called Nurse Jennings? Dr. Nelson, I've been trying to. Your patient, I mean, well, he needs an op. I think that is. Never mind, nurse. I'll see for myself, he says. And he rushes into the operating room and looks at the table. And there is a grayish white, maybe this is supposed to be silver skinned alien laying here. Very large head. Humanoid, two arms that we can see. Two eyes, nose, mouth, two ears. Great stars, did you hear what it said? Nelson says. Doomed, Earth is doomed, doomed, in some funky word balloon scripting here. And then somebody responds to Nelson said, but doctor, that thing hasn't said anything. And Nelson thinks, what? Then it was telepathy, which I alone heard. I must save this alien's life. If the secret dies with him, Earth may follow. Wow. Out of nowhere, Kent is just like, we cut to Superman, who is sitting on a satellite out in orbit around the Earth, I guess. And he's considering a recent story. Looks like the previous issue of World's Finest, which would have been issue 208, where he encountered some magic. And we know, and even to this day, we know that Superman has kind of a weakness to magic. Weakness, not like kryptonite weakness, but just a, you know, he is a man of quote-unquote science, being super strong. You know, everything that he does is science and mathematically based. Weird though it may be, but he's an alien, so it still has an explanation. Magic is not science. Magic is not numbers and math, and, you know, so Superman can't do anything necessarily against that. As we will see here when he teams with Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate will do things with Superman that Superman can't do by brawn by itself. So Superman's pondering and he thinks, you know, I need to become immune to magic. And I know just who to go to. So he jumps off the satellite and zooms down. You think that he was going to go speak to Dr. Fate, right? Because Dr. Fate is a part of the issue and we've already seen him. But no, that's not his first call. But before he gets there, he encounters a radioactive dust cloud over some arid desert waste. And he sucks in the radioactive cloud. Now he's holding it in his lungs, right? Like metal in your lungs, according to the commercial, if you've seen that. Superman says, swell, now that I've got the gas, what do I do with it? There's no safe place on Earth to dump it. But there is some place out of this world. So he goes to the sun and breathes, spits, exhales, or however you want to put it, the gas, radioactive gas dust into the sun. So he zooms back to the Earth, and shortly the Man of Steel attends a rehearsal of the Princess of Prestidigitation, Zatanna. So that is his first call to create some sort of immunity to magic. She tells him, I wish I could help you, Superman, but I don't know how to make you immune to magic. How about your father, Zatara? Perhaps he could. I'm afraid not. He warned me that to know how our powers work would cause them to stop working. And she casts a spell, and as you know, her spells are spoken backwards. I haven't read any of Zatara. I know he's been around since the Golden Age. His spell casting may be backwards also, but I don't know off the top of my head. Well, it was a good idea while it lasted, Superman thinks. But once outside in the dusty gray air, wait a minute, just because Zatanna can't help me is no reason to give up. There's another magician who might be of help, one whose knowledge is older than Earth itself. And with these words, the narrator tells us, there are worlds within worlds and infinite worlds beyond. So it is that Superman passes from one plane of existence into the next, from his Earth, into the parallel planet of Earth 2, home of the legendary Justice Society of America. So it looks like he is indeed going to visit Dr. Fate. He finds Dr. Fate at the bedside, but not as Dr. Fate, as Kent Nelson. Kent Nelson is still trying to heal this alien. I don't know if he's operated on him or anything like that, but the alien is laying unconscious, and Nelson is trying to convince Superman to keep the noise, the volume down. An alien, what is this? Anyways, I came here to... Sometimes, Nelson says, the fates are kind, Superman. Your unexpected presence may tip the scales to our side. Come. I have a private place where I can explain. So Kent Nelson speaks very profoundly in this issue. That's kind of interesting. Narrator continues next page. On the crest of a windswept crag that borders Old Salem stands a strange stone tower, its rough-hewn walls devoid of doors or windows, the sanctuary of Dr. Fate. So Fate is here, and he's dressed. He's putting on his helmet. Superman is here. The alien is here as well. Now, I thought that he was taking Superman somewhere private to talk, but he just, like, led Superman, scooped up his patient, and went to the tower. The patient not particularly hooked up to any machinery or anything. So, I don't know. Kind of weird. Inside this bizarre refuge, two equally exotic figures stand and consider a third. So Fate goes on to explain, you know, why they're here, that the alien said something about doomed, and he really doesn't know what that was about. Superman really hasn't gotten to his point yet, because it's all been about Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate continues here in one panel. According to reports, he was sitting in the air over the city. A low-flying plane didn't see him in time and clipped him with a wing. As to who he is, I pray my sacred crystal can supply the answer. So he grabs up his scrying sphere, goes over to the alien, sets it closer to the alien, and does some Lords of Order / Lords of Chaos, perhaps, magic, and conjures a large screen via the scrying sphere to look into the alien's brain. They see a couple images. One turns out to be a Mayan temple deep in the Yucatan, and the other is an image of Stonehenge in England. And then the alien starts to move around and make like it's not enjoying too much what Fate is doing, so he turns off the transmission. The mental strain was too much for the alien's weakened condition. Superman says, "Then our only hope of discovering the image's meaning is to head for those sites and find out for ourselves." Dr. Fate puts a spell on the alien to put him kind of in suspended animation and hold everything chill. They rush out of Fate's tower, Fate heading to the Yucatan Peninsula, while we will discover that Superman heads to Stonehenge. When Fate gets here, he tells us, "How well I know this place. Has it been years or merely moments since last I fought my old foe Mayor upon this very site? No editor's note or anything, and off the top of my head, we've been through all of Fate's, well, basically all of Fate's appearances up to this point, 1971. I don't remember a Mayor anywhere. So anybody out there remember that? Let me know. I'm too lazy to look through all the shows and see if I can cross-reference the word. As he gets to the pyramid, there's another one of these aliens, just like the one that he has, sitting crisscross applesauce, I think is what they call it, hovering above the pyramid. Fate flies up and says, "Hold, alien, Dr. Fate would have a word with you." And the alien turns its head and has some fiercely glowing eyes. And then the jungle comes alive and it snares Fate. He dispatches that vine and two more raise up to snare him. And he dispatches those and more raise up to snare him until he can't get away. The vines pull him down into the foliage towards a large trumpet-like flower, like a trumpet flower. Is that what it's called? Trumpet flower? Well, still struggling, the Wonder Wizard is pulled downward until deep in the thick of the overpowering underbrush. And Fate tells us what's going on, as well as us seeing it. That orchid emitting clouds of noxious gas. My one weakness, filling my lungs, my eyes, my very soul. And he passes out. And as we know, mystically, Dr. Fate can do just about anything, but he still has to breathe. So that's always been his greatest weakness. Then the limp form of Dr. Fate is borne towards the gaping open maw of a huge Venus flytrap, and it envelops him. But the Venus flytrap starts to expand and expand like a balloon, and then suddenly it bursts, sending Dr. Fate hurtling skyward, flying back towards the alien. Fate is saying, "Now I have a debt to settle and questions that cry for an answer. And have those answers I shall, one way or another." And the alien responds, I guess mentally again here, "Pretentious Earthman, you have naught but the wind that sifts through your fingers. My task here is done. I take my leave." And he disappears as Fate is conjuring a giant hand to kind of clutch him. As Dr. Fate finds himself alone, a cool breeze whistles by, seemingly mocking him. We cut to Superman, who now has arrived at Stonehenge and sees hovering over the midst of Stonehenge another of these aliens. These guys, though, are clothed. They're wearing kind of purplish, violet-colored robes, like monk robes with a hood or a habit. Is that called a habit? Well, with a hood, nonetheless. And he's going up and he's getting close to this alien when suddenly a giant hand grabs him, a giant sandy hand, he says, squeezing me. And then the next page, next panel, a colossus created from the terrain below. I wonder if it's the sky sitting weirdo's way of keeping me from disturbing his siesta. And it appears as a early Briton fighter of some sort, maybe a Viking of some sort. Superman punches it and his hand goes right through the body because it's made of sand. And so the sand then coalesces and fills the hole, right? So the sand being is holding Superman with one hand and grasps the rest of his body with the other hand and attempts to rip him in half. Superman says, can't pry his fingers loose. The pressure of this animated sandbox has me glassy-eyed. So that means he's about to pass out? Come on, Supes. That's it. The magic words. Eyes to supply heat vision. And he flash fries the sand, turns it to glass, and then with a big quack punches it in the chest and shatters the body. Running back over to the alien, flying back over to the alien, just as he's about to get there, a wall of force is erected by the alien who tells Superman, halt, Earthman, move no closer, I will not have my person soiled by your touch. And then this alien fades away as well. And as Superman is leaving, we're told as the action ace vanishes into the distance, the ground behind him begins to tremble, playing a crystal dirge. Good word, dirge. Cut back to Dr. Fate, who is attempting to fly back home to Salem, I believe, and he's passing a little coastal village that looks, he sees that it's about to be crushed by a large tidal wave. He erects an ectoplasmic tidal wall, a giant wall to block the wave, and it does, but he starts to feel that there is something off. Even though he saved this coastal village, his memory is that this village has never been in this particular location before, much less having need saving. So something is off. The village is somewhere that it's not supposed to be. Then, to break up all of the hardcore action, we have a couple ads on this next page. You can win a trip to the Indy 500 and bring your dad along. Two, courtesy of the fun group at General Mills. Looks like you can buy different toys and things, and by doing so, you're entered in. The grand prize is Indy 500 tickets, but you can also win things like go-karts and train sets, things like that. The bottom half is a Sea Monkeys ad. I think I mentioned in one of the previous episodes, I used to have Sea Monkeys. They're pretty cool. Fairy shrimp, actually, is what they are, biologically. They're not sea monkeys. They're not human-esque. They're not humanoid. But they are kind of curious. Superman, on his way to Salem, attempts to stop a volcanic eruption near a very, very large city. Very large. Very modern. Which I'm not aware of that many that are near volcanoes, but rescues some people. The city, the outskirts of the city, is destroyed by the volcano. All because, well, actually, that's the point. There wasn't a volcano near this city, we find out. So Superman gets to Salem. Dr. Fate is there waiting, and they discuss how something is wrong with the Earth, with the planet. Fate tells him, observe, in some fantastic manner, the continents of Earth are moving, drawing ever closer and closer together. And he's conjured just a handheld scrying sphere, and you can see the Earth in it. And yes, indeed, those continents that are drawn are much closer. It looks like they fit really well together, so you can kind of see where they're heading, but they are much closer. We see the Atlantic coast of North and South America, Africa, and then we see the coast of Australia as it's moving north towards Africa. We see Europe and Asia closing up, and we see this thing here below Asia, which I guess is Antarctica, the continent. So everything is closing up towards Africa, which means the other side of the planet would be opening up and being just ocean, right? Because all of the continents are on this side. So they continue talking. Fate checks on the alien. There's been no change with his alien, but he's determined to find out what's going on. So once again, he does the psychic probe via scrying sphere cast on a mystic floating screen trick, delving into the psyche of the alien. We hear, "I am Gan-U, one of the Budak, high lamas of a star-spawned race that is older even than time and space. For untold eons, we sought nirvana, the true liberation of the mind, and at last we have found the means." We see that there is a conversation among three of these aliens. One says, "This insignificant planet, third from the star sun Sol, S-O-L, is orbiting into perfect cosmic junction. It is there we must go. Through mystic science, we discovered that smashing the land masses of this planet into each other would create the ultimate energy. By being bathed in this energy outburst, the capabilities of our mind would be ours to control completely, tapping wells of power too staggering to imagine." So that's it, Fate said. Somehow those aliens' concentration has set in motion forces that have been latent in the Earth since its formation. The natural attraction of one mass for another. Superman's question is, what do we do to stop it? "The time has come for confrontation, Superman. We must meet these planet smashers at the focal point of this oncoming catastrophe, the Lost Valley of Ur." "Superman, it was in this Valley of Ur that Dr. Fate began his career. How ironic if he were to end it here. So I guess that means the Lost Valley of Ur is in Egypt, right? Because isn't that where Fate met the dude that inhabits his helmet, the helmet of, wow, and the name is just totally and completely escaping me. Naboo, sorry, that was the Egyptian sorcerer that first gave Fate his powers and whatever else, tortured him and trained him and all that kind of stuff. So as they fly into the valley, they see three of these aliens now, the third one having been the one at Salem in Fate's tower, all dressed in these robes. One is hooded, the other two are not. I don't know why one is hooded, and who knows. "Let's try a two-flank attack," Superman recommends. So he runs up and swings at the globe, a glowing red sphere that has surrounded three aliens, to no avail. Dr. Fate conjures a hammer and chisel to try to break through. Nothing. But after their attempts, the sphere lashes out and casts both men away, crashing to the desert below. They both. Couple pages here of non-action as we get a letters page. See if I can find out the names of anyone, but I don't see them listed. Well, Tom Payer, one of the people listed on the letters page is Tom Payer. So recognize that name. Then there is an ad for a special offer for Superman fans. A Superman peace poster for $2. 3x2, full color. Another ad, "Seeing is believing, a useful educational scientific instrument. The 10-in-1 scope. Buy two for $1. One for 65 cents. Going out to the Lucky Clover Club of Brooklyn, New York." So many of these places that are in these ads are in New York. Finally, back to the story, as the stellar sorcerer stares at the empty space between his outstretched hands, there is a sudden shimmering light, and this is Dr. Fate, the stellar sorcerer. "Using my enchanted crystal, I shall siphon my powers into you, Superman. The combination of my occult forces and your invulnerable body may be strong enough to succeed where singly we have failed." So Fate does that. Superman runs out. This time, as he's approaching, the aliens see and try to head it off with another one of the blasts. But now Superman is able to shrug that off. Getting closer and closer until finally the three aliens concentrate, and using black magic, they create a giant dark fist hand that grabs Spider-Man. But Spider-Man flexes and shrugs off, destroys that hand. As he's getting closer, the aliens start individually firing and firing until finally Superman gets to the barrier and whacks it, gives it a mighty punch, and the sphere explodes. Superman thinks the aliens are gone. Evidently, the explosion caused their uncanny powers to backfire, dooming themselves. He goes back to Dr. Fate, and we find out, well, they're gone, but nothing has stopped. The continents are still converging on each other. What are we going to do? So Fate conjures up some massive chains, anchors the chains to the different continents, and gives the end to Superman. Superman throws those chains over his shoulder, and he starts pulling physically from space to separate the continents while Dr. Fate is giving the whammy with his powers. This panel is much like the first interior panel. Very, very similar. Well done, Superman, Fate finally tells as they get back together. The balance is restored. Earth turns in peace once again. Then Dr. Fate realizes, but you had started to tell me what brought you here. Tell me, how can Dr. Fate serve you? Superman's like, well, finally. I came to inquire if you could make me immune to the effects of magic. Fate says, difficult but possible. I'm ready to begin. And Superman tells him, no, hold up. That is what I came for, but I've changed my mind. Do you realize if I'd been invulnerable to magic, we would have never defeated those aliens, and the world would be so much cosmic dust? Somewhere out there is something that knows what must be and strives to make it so. Call it destiny or whatever else, the result is the same. If magic is to be my albatross, I'll live with it. A little humility is good for even a Superman. Narrator tells us next issue, high-flying adventure with Superman and Hawkman. So there we go. That's the end of our adventure here in World's Finest 208. Nothing really added. Looking through here, the Robot Man story is a reprint from Detective Comics 138. And the Ghost Patrol story is a reprint from Flash Comics 96. Filling out this honkin' 48-page book, I think it tells us. Yes, 48 pages for only a quarter. So there we go, guys. That is the Dr. Fate installment in World's Finest Comics, issue 208 from October 1971. Next up, the Justice League of America, the first volume, issue 100, which is the next JLA-JSA crossover, and hopefully the next significant appearance of Dr. Fate. So with that in mind, I'll talk about it to you guys next time. Ciao.